Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. It is so good to be back. I had a really special vacation. I stayed home. And I did lots of projects around the house. And for me, getting projects done is very fulfilling. Because then you see this new, clean area or whatever. I also went to the Hollywood Bowl, went out to some restaurants with friends, did a lot of fishing, not catching, and I read. And one of the books I'm still reading, because there's so much to it, is a book by Marcus J. Borg, Convictions: How I Learned What Matters Most. Marcus Borg died this year at the age of 72. He was a very respected Episcopal theologian and scholar. The first book I ever read of his is because the title grabbed me: Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. And so this book, Convictions, really touched me. In this book, he deals with his personal Christian journey, a journey that he recognized is absolutely one that is a process that takes a lifetime, and that salvation actually deals with transformation. And he realizes that his awareness of what he has come to learn that matters most is by looking back and recognizing that he's been influenced by the memories of childhood, what he absorbed as a child about the Bible, God, and Jesus. And then he moved through life recognizing that there are moments in life where he had conversions, moments that changed him. He had new insights. By the time he was in his 20s, he had become an atheist, majored in religion as a matter of the head and not the heart. And one of those conversion moments that influenced him and stayed with him his entire life was when he was driving on a rural road home from a late evening in the library. The sun was setting, and all of a sudden, the light that suffused everything entered him also. And he knew in that moment that God is real. There were moments like that, not just in nature, but also by his own study of Scripture, that moved what he had taken in as a child, and now he was making something new as an adult. And those new awarenesses became convictions. And he recognized these convictions, these values, mattered most. And they were like the cream that had surfaced. These were lasting and what he was building his life on. I recognize that in the story of Jesus. So today in the Gospel of John, this is the third Sunday. We're still in chapter 6. This is the third Sunday we're hearing Jesus identify as the bread of life. Now, Jesus at this point is a young man, but he too had memories. He too had absorbed things that impacted him from the Old Testament and the Psalms, of how Mary and Joseph had taught him, of how he had prayed with the Psalms. And as he grew into manhood, Jesus went through conversion moments. Remember 40 days in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights. Something really clicked in those difficult, challenging 40 days. And he came out with convictions. He came out with an identity. what I read and prayed about in the Old Testament. He began to understand, this is my call to be the Messiah, to be bread for the world. So this fourth gospel, a couple generations after Matthew and Mark and Luke wrote theirs, we now have this mature theology, a mature understanding, a mature representation of who Jesus, this Christian community, had come to believe in. And so Jesus is saying to us today, I want to be life-giving for you. And one of the things that was hard for me in leaving some of my childhood notions of the Bible and God and Jesus was learning that some things aren't literal and some things are an incredible metaphor, because God wants us to hear that message in such a deep way. It seems that God understands us so much that sometimes only a metaphor will do. But this gospel today is actually beyond a metaphor, because each Sunday we do get to receive bread and wine, body and blood. And Jesus is saying, and this is what I want to be for you. In this particular gospel, Jesus says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. And that word abide in the Greek actually is a movement toward the word participation. I want you to participate in me, and I want to participate in all that you are about. And for this to happen, I want you to believe how intimate this relationship is meant to be. Receive me. Receive me in this bread and in this wine, and let yourself be changed. So in this gospel, we have such rich phrases, and we heard them, and this is the third Sunday we've heard them. It could put you to sleep. For all these different ways that Jesus is saying the same thing. I am living bread. I am the bread of life. I am bread for you. And over the word bread is used over and over again. This most common element, beyond a metaphor, meant to be life-giving. Jesus learned what mattered most. How do we learn what matters most? Taking into us right now this reality that Jesus wants to participate in this learning process, in this process of conversion to conviction. On the cover of your bulletin, there is an image. It says wisdom, and underneath it are seven pillars. And if you have a magnifying glass, you can read what's on those pillars. And those pillars are ethics, humility, instruction, discipline, knowledge, integrity, and honesty. Scholars debate on the meaning of these seven pillars. Some armchair theologian came up with these seven words. But seven is a sacred number. In Scripture, it represents completeness or perfection. On the seventh day of creation, God rested. He had completed something. In Jewish law, if you are a farmer, after 7 years of farming, have a year that's fallow. Don't plant. Let the ground renew. Solomon's temple had seven pillars. There are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is the first one. Understanding, counsel, knowledge, courage, piety, fear of the Lord, which is translated wonder or awe. So Jesus wants us to keep learning what matters most. Jesus wants to keep participating in this process. And knowing that we sometimes need our own metaphors to remember, the big question is, what would be the values that you would write down for your 7 pillars? You can doodle if you want right now. So I asked this of myself. What values would make up my 7 pillars as a Christian? What would be my 7 pillars? And I really wrestled with this. And I went through different permutations of these 7 pillars over the last few days. And the first step that I came up with, so I was sitting there and praying, and I remembered, and I could just see Jesus thinking about this also, the prophet Micah, chapter 6. This is what God asks of you. Only this. Act justly, love tenderly, walk humbly. So I said, thank you, God. My first pillar will be justice. My next pillar will be love. And then I will have a pillar of humility. So I got 3 because of Micah. And then I decided on the word freedom because I get to choose. And then I added integrity, peace, and the word communion. So life went on that day. The next morning I get up and I said, oh, wait a minute. 7. I could see 3 steps, something in the middle, and 3 steps. So I said, God, family, friends, and right here, mission. What is my mission? What am I sent to do? And God equips. So then I added faith, hope, and love. So that was good. And then life goes on. And I said, I checked the prayer of St. Francis. And would you believe there are 7 sets of comparisons? Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Injury, pardon. Discord, union. Doubt, faith. Despair, hope. Darkness, light. Sadness, joy. Thank you, God. Here are my new 7 pillars. Love, pardon, union, faith, hope, light, and joy. So now I'm into looking for my 7s. And I can't get over how God's economy works. So what floated in was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey of many, many years ago. And I said, yes, 7. So I go online and look for a survey, a summary of these 7 habits. And I recognize these matter a lot. These can be convictions too. The first one is be proactive with your roles and relationships in life. 2, begin with the end in mind. Envision what you want in the future and how concretely you can make that happen. 3, put things first. Put first things first. Manage your own person. 4, think win-win. What is mutually beneficial for who you are working with? Can you hear how Christian these values are? How they can matter the most. 5. Aha, I said, he stole this from St. Francis. 5, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Because that creates an atmosphere of caring and positive problem solving. 6, synergize. Which means community, which means combining the strengths of others, because then you're more effective than doing something on your own, alone. So 6 is church. It's us, It's being together and having a mission and a purpose together in this world. And the last one is sharpen the saw. Balance and renew you with the resources you need to create that health that will sustain and make you an effective instrument of peace. And he names physical renewal. He names prayer. To meditate and yoga were his examples. And he mentions good reading. And so I want to reread Convictions, Learning What Matters Most. So when I saw the word meditation, it reminded me of a friend who I recognized one of her pillars obviously is prayer right now. I've known her for at least 20 years. We were together last week. She's married. She has two grown kids. She adores her grandchildren. And she has stomach cancer. And her face has light shining through. And we talked about it. And she knows it's because she meditates. She prays every day. And she meditates using a word throughout her whole meditation time. And the word she uses is Abba. It's Aramaic. It means father or daddy or papa. So she recognizes, if she were to name her pillars, prayer would be one of them. So Jesus invites us to get in touch today with the living life he can be for us in whatever our life is about right now. And more importantly, he wants us to take what we have from the past, recognize those moments of conversion and change, and grow into the convictions that we need to be as adult Christians in the world. Our second reading helps us with this and challenges us. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time. So whatever makes up your seven living pillars, something deeper is going on. It is the living Jesus, our bread of life. Amen.